97.5 The Fanatic.
Our good friend of the program, Mr. Adam Schefter from ESPN, joins the show. Happy Wednesday, Adam. How are things?
Good morning, Jamie and Bob in Philadelphia. Everybody out there, hope everybody's doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing all right because we have a 3:40 kickoff on a Wednesday.
It's game day today, right? It's game day.
Love it. It's like baseball playoff, Schefty. It's awesome.
Adam, can you walk us through how we got to this point? And I guess my question is the NFL trying to make a point in case out of the Denver Broncos, forcing them to play without a quarterback and kind of pushing, you know, meaningful playoff teams back to a Wednesday? How did this all kind of transpire?
Well, there are a few things. First and foremost, the Broncos situation is different than the Steelers situation. I know that people, not everybody understands that, but the difference is, look, the NFL's job, it feels, is to identify, isolate, and contain the virus whenever there are instances of a positive test. Identify, isolate, contain. And in the case of the Broncos, they felt like the virus was identified, isolated, and contained. Most important, contained. And if that's the case, they don't really care whether you've lost all your quarterbacks or all your defensive backs or all your running backs. You're playing the game. And so that's what happened in Denver. There was one positive test of a player. It's not their concern, the league's, that the quarterbacks were in the meeting room with the individual tested positive and weren't wearing masks, and there's video evidence of it. Okay, the rules are the rules. And while I've heard a lot of people complain about the integrity of the game and competitive balance, and those are valid points, I get it all. The Patriots lost Cam Newton right before they played Kansas City. What did the league do? It identified, it isolated, it contained, and then it played the game without Cam Newton. That's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened there. In Baltimore, now this to me is more debatable. There's been 10 straight days of a positive test within that organization. 10.
Jeez.
Okay? And so what that tells you is, yes, while the league is concerned about identifying, isolating, containing, it's also concerned about being the business that it is. It's the National Football League. The National Football League's job is to put games on, to entertain fans, to continue to have its television revenue. That's the business.
Right.
Okay? So the business goes on. The business goes on. Now, yesterday, it was an equipment manager that tested positive. It was a backup player that apparently wasn't around people. Now, they're doing more tests this morning. And if one of those tests comes back positive, could that jeopardize the game? Yeah, it could. I've been told it could. Do I think this game is being played? I think we all think at this point it's being played because they've gone this far. They've pushed it back three different times. And so here we are with Pittsburgh-Baltimore being played after the Broncos-Saints are being played, and Week 12 bleeds into Week 13, and look, if they play the game, you know, I put this on Twitter the other day, I was a little surprised. I said, it's 12 weeks, and the NFL hasn't canceled the game.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that as a compliment, okay? Like, boy, look at how brave and tough they are. I meant that as a point.
Yeah, they're not going to be stopped.
That's the point, and people took it the other way, but that's fine.
Well, Schefty, that leads to my question. Of everything that's going on, and I think it's a great thing, identify, isolate, and contain by the NFL, great thing, good. That if teams can go by that protocol, that's good. What has the NFL done well during all of this in your eyes, and what are some of the things maybe that you've kind of said, wow, I don't know about that?
Well, what it's done well is it's run its business.
Yeah.
It's run its business, okay? And I said this. We are seeing restaurants close, counties shut down, schools going virtual, people dying, and the NFL plays all its games. No issues there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that goes back to my point of it, the league doesn't stop for anything. That's the point. Now, could it? Yeah, it could. Could there be an outbreak that derails? Yeah, that could happen. But we're 12 weeks in. And if that game today is played, zero cancellations.
So, like, coming away from this, Shefty, the season goes on. We have the problems we had. They deal with it. They get done this business. The Super Bowl's played. It's over. What do you think your feelings are going to be when it's done about this season? And I don't, just as a human, like, oh, man, they shouldn't have done that, or that feels dirty, or how will you feel about the season?
No, Bob, I was there last spring. I was against, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, but we go on. And first of all, I appreciate personally in my football world that the league is doing this. I do appreciate that. Like, can you tell me that on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock? I love that.
Yeah,
that's me.
That's
me.
That's a lot of us.
Okay, I love the 7.5 hours ahead. Or actually, no, excuse me, it's the 10.5 hours ahead, okay? I love that there are 10.5 hours ahead of entertainment for the day, of fantasy football, of fun, mm-hmm. of a diversion, of entertainment. That's me, okay? If you're not a football fan, you want to watch, no problems there.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
But I know that there are a lot of nights that my wife and I are sitting in front of TV and we're screaming through and we're looking through something to watch, and it's happened a lot recently. Like, what else is it? We've watched this, we've watched that. what are we watching?
But Shefty, have you watched The Undoing on HBO?
She has, I have not. Yes, ooh, she loved that.
I haven't yet either.
Did you watch Queen's Gambit on Netflix?
She has, I haven't. She loved that.
I did Queen's Gambit. I haven't done The Undoing
Shefty,
yet.
You got to catch up, man.
How is Queen's Gambit?
It's very good.
It's good. Very good, yeah. I just finished
the plot, if I explained it to you, you'd go, why do I have interest in that? But something about the show works.
Yeah.
The actress is great. It's a quality program.
Well, I haven't watched much of that. You know, I guess my attention wanders and I get called away. And so she started watching The Undoing on Sunday nights. I think that's when it airs. That seems to be when she watched it.
Yeah.
And I'm watching football, and she wasn't waiting for me.
Yeah, we watch it on Tuesdays. We play catch up. But yeah, great acting.
Yeah, my wife doesn't care. She, you know, you're watching football. You're busy. I'm watching what I want
to
watch.
It's work, Shefty. Well, you know, we got work to do. We got to pay those bills. Let's bring it back to the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, Monday night on your station, ESPN. The Seattle Seahawks just have the Eagles' number. They beat them twice last year. You know, it feels like dating back to ever since Lincoln Financial Field opened. Seattle has just had their number. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But this Eagles offense, look, we're 3 years removed from a Super Bowl where we had a quarterback that looked like he was on a MVP every year trajectory. Howie Roseman batted damn near 1,000% that offseason.
Yep.
Doug Peterson was the envy of a lot of teams in the NFL with the creativity of the offense. Now we're here three years removed, and people want significant change coming from this Eagles team. What is the word around the league on the regression of this team? How did it get so bad so quick? And frankly, can it be fixed with the same people that are here?
All great questions. And I think that as we've documented and pointed out, I mean, it still is surprising to me that this team has not produced more and taken advantage of what is the easiest division
ever
in the history of football to win. In the history of football. Like 6 wins might win that division when 7 is the most it's ever won a division. 6 really might win that division. And so, you know, if you're an Eagles fan, what happened is it seems like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, you're just like, okay, you're just waiting for them to get better. Like, you believe at some point they're just going to turn it on and get better and show enough improvement to win the division. Then you hope that they can continue that trajectory and improve as the postseason. But at this point, I don't know if there's anybody that can watch that team and think that that's going to happen now. I mean, it doesn't happen week after week. And the offense seems like it's languishing. It's not coming through.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's developing. And it looks like there are plays there early, and it looks like they're not being converted. And is that the quarterback? Is that I don't know. And by the way, I still believe in the quarterback. I do. I still believe in the people there. I do. But I understand why people are up in arms, and as we've said, people are going to want blood, and that there will be people who don't survive this. I mean, that's what will come of this in the end. Because in the NFL, that entertainment that we all crave for, which the league is pushing through on us, which we're thankful that it has, to tie it all together, the Eagles have disappointed their fans. And when that happens, fans won't buy. And by the way, it looks like they've disappointed their owner, too.
Yeah, very much.
So forget about the fans for a moment. It looks like the owner's disappointed. So if the owner's disappointed, well, then we've got something here, right?
Shefty, you may not have many samples to draw from on this, but when a team goes through kind of what the Eagles are going through, where a star quarterback is regressing, where the coach who had recent success is falling on really hard times and being questioned, where mostly, you said there's going to be changes made, like in your experience, where mostly has the axe been thrown?
I don't know that you could generalize like that, Bob. Again, to me, in this league, the first person that people always look at is the head coach. It's just that's how it is. A team loses, it's the head coach, and then you go from there. I mean, that's always the starting point for who people look at. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know what will happen, but I know in the NFL, watching it, observing it, covering it as long as I have, and it's an honor. I would just say that people always start with the, it just seems like that. Like it's the head coach and the quarterback, right? Those are the first two in line. And so sometimes one goes, sometimes both goes, sometimes they decide neither goes. And that'll be up to the owner here. And again, the owner doesn't seem happy.
Yeah.
So let's see what he does.
Shefty, if Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman were to hit the, you know, for all intents and purposes, the free agent market, would they be the most highly sought after people on that market, in your opinion?
I think that they both have a high degree of respect, and I think Howie would have a GM job in about 90 seconds. I think Doug would have the chance to interview for a head coaching job. I don't know that he would get one. He probably would. Probably would. Like, again, just trying to think of like Super Bowl coaches who come free.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl, got a job. Tom Coughlin won a Super Bowl. Did he coach again in Jacksonville?
An executive at that point with Jacksonville again. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that. And so, but he got gainful employment. I'm trying to think about
it. Brian Billick is a guy who kind of didn't really get that chance again?
Nope, didn't. Nope, wanted one, didn't get one.
Yeah.
So Mike Shanahan got it, won it, got it. My guess would be that in the right situation that Doug might get the chance. Howie's a young GM, very aggressive in the mold of what I think teams want their GMs today. I think he'd be hired right away.
All right, Shefty, we have to get serious here now. And I know your television watching, especially during the weekend, is probably limited because of your work. But I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the Roy Jones Jr., Mike Tyson exhibition fight on Saturday night.
You know, Bob, I got to be honest. Again, I haven't gotten to watch The Undoing. I haven't gotten to watch The Queen's Gambit. Outside of the NBA and the NFL, I don't get to watch much of anything.
All right. Well, the one thing I do know is that you're a huge Snoop Dogg fan. I've known that from years past. Well, Snoop Dogg did a little commentating on the undercard on the Nate Robinson fight, and he was hysterical. So really? The question we're throwing out there today, if there's a celebrity out there, who no matter who it may be, that you'd love to see in the booth or hear in the booth for an inning, a quarter, a couple of plays, whatever it may be, who would it be? Who's your celebrity you wouldn't mind listening to for a couple minutes?
Well, I would go with an unorthodox selection here, and I would just say to you that I would put Frank Caliendo in the booth and have him imitate Tony Romo and Jim Nance together. Like I'd have a one-man booth with one guy doing the voices.
That's awesome.
That would be pretty funny.
Well, perfect. Like, he could pull it off.
Yeah, he could. He could be every announcer, too.
Right.
He could do, a little bit of Nance Romo, and then he could go way back. He could do Keith Jackson. He could, you know, just be everybody all at once.
Wouldn't that be cool, actually?
That would be great.
Like, one game, let's put Frank in the booth. Let's have him do it. I mean, I think that'd be kind of funny.
He could be Brent Musburger for one quarter.
You are looking live.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You put him on, like, a end-of-the-season game between the Bengals and the Jaguars.
Exactly.
Yep.
That nobody cares about, and have them have at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a great thing. Adam, great to catch up with you. Enjoy the afternoon football today, and we will talk again next week.
Yep, I'm going to my tailgate right now, and it's not normal that I do this on a Wednesday, but we're going to start tailgating right now.
There you go. Play a little Snoop Dogg while you're doing it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Jamie Bob, thanks so much.
Thanks, Shefty.
Oh, sorry there, Adam. I didn't mean to cut you. But Adam is always brought to us by DraftKings, giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all their customers. Download the DraftKings app and sign up using code FANATIC. Then enter a free football survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.